Okay, so we are still in lesson 7 of our Parenting God's Way series. And this lesson is Embracing Biblical Methods. And we're talking about the rod today and last week and next week at least. Now, I know last week we didn't make it far and we had a lot of discussion. And I wanted to say that I loved that and I don't want to discourage that at all. And so if you have anything to add, or maybe a question, I don't want to skip by that. So you feel free to raise your hand and we'll talk. And if we don't make through the lesson today, that's totally fine. Especially with the subject matter we're dealing with, it being the rod and being something that shouldn't be but is such a taboo subject in our society. And there's a lot of falsehoods that are given and a lot of misconceptions that are out there about the rod, and it could be a confusing subject just because of that. And so I'm happy to take as much time as we need, and we're going to deal with a lot of scripture, but you make sure you ask any questions or make any comments as we go through that come to your mind. Okay, so we'll go ahead and just start in Hebrews 11 because that's where we left off. Well, yeah, let's do that. Hebrews chapter 11. And I'll quote for you really the verse that we dealt with most last week, just to remind us kind of where we've been, which is Proverbs 22:15. But you don't need to turn there unless you'd like to, but it's right in our notes. It's on page 2 of our notes. That last week we dealt with a lot of scripture, but really the main scripture we dealt with was Proverbs 22:15, which says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." And really, if we wanted to boil it down to why do we use the rod, and we're going to talk a lot more about that here today and next lesson as well. But really it's this, that children are born with a foolish heart. And by the way, a foolish heart doesn't really go away. We all are foolish at times, but a child has foolishness, the Bible says, bound in his or her heart. And here's the remedy that God has given for a child, okay? And the remedy is the rod. And the rod is God's instrument that he has ordained to use to help for a child that is foolish to become wise. And we said this, I think, last week, that children often they just don't give weight to words as often as they should. And so it's a need. It's not something, again, we want to say this too, that using the rod is not something that we just enjoy using. I hope no one enjoys using it. That'd be weird. That'd actually be kind of a problem if you enjoy using the rod. A parent, if you've ever had to spank your child, it's not a fun thing. You don't want to do it. But it is something that God commands, and it's something that God has ordained, and it's something that God blesses. And I've seen it time and time again, when the rod is used properly, it helps. It brings what we're actually going to talk about today in Hebrews 11, but then even in Proverbs it says that it brings delight to the soul of the parent when they are corrected. The alternative is to not correct or to correct a different way. But the Bible says that the rod is what brings delight to the soul of their parents. The rod is what brings a child who is foolish into a place of wisdom. And when we hear that, it sounds like harsh, and it sounds like, I don't want to do that. And there's like maybe, especially in our society today, a little bit of a cringe, like, oh, you do that? You spank your child? And there's a reason for that. And that's actually what we're going to cover here in Hebrews chapter number 12. Did I tell you chapter 11? If I did, I meant chapter 12. And we're going to be in verse 11. Okay, so let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. And then we'll pray and get into our lesson today. The writer of Hebrews says this, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous." Okay, we ought never to enjoy chastening our children, and really in any respect. It should not be a fun thing. If it's a fun thing, that means your anger's involved, and that's not good. There's no place for anger. So it's not joyous for the one giving correction. It's not joyous for the one getting correction. It's not pleasant, okay? but instead it's grievous. But nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And this is what the way that God ordained for foolishness to be dealt with, and really disobedience. Remember, we talked about foolishness. I'll say this, and then we'll pray and get into our lesson. But we talked about what foolishness was last week. The Bible says in Psalms that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And this is the definition of a fool. A fool, biblically, is one who tries to live their life as if God does not exist. And they're just going to live life the way they feel is best. They're going to do what they think is best without giving any thought to what God thinks, and without giving any thought to the fact that they are accountable to God. And that's a foolish way to live. And it brings that way of living brings destruction. And by the way, a destruction and a pain and a hurt that is much deeper and much longer lasting than using the rod. I want to tell you that. And so the rod is there to curb that and to help a foolish child that is unruly and rebellious, and it turns their heart, it gets their attention, and they realize, no, truly, I am not in control, and I am held accountable, and this very, very temporary pain reminds the child that they are not to live life however they feel is best, but instead the way God says. And what God commands is for a child to obey and honor their parent. And when a child is obeying and honor their parent, they're living the life that God has designed for them. They'll live a life that is blessed by God. And as long as they are living out of that circle of safety, and we're going to deal more with that next week. We talked about it a little bit. But as long as they're out of that circle of safety, meaning they're not obeying, they're not having an obedient heart. Really, and the heart is the issue, isn't it? They're not having an obedient heart. They're not having a respectful heart. Then they're going to end up in a place that is bad, that is destructive. And it's our job as parents to bring them back where God has them, and that is partly where the rod is for. So let's pray, and we'll get into our lesson today. God, thank you so much for this great day you've given us already. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our church and in our children as we see them singing for your glory even this morning. I pray that you bless each and every one of them. And then thank you for those who've come out this morning to learn how to be the parents that you've called them to be, or just to be, Lord, in charge of children in some capacity, the way that you've called them. And so I just pray that you would bless them for that. Pray that you help me to be a good teacher. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts, help us to understand what you want us to understand this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. So we read Hebrews 12:11 that correction is not meant to be pleasant at the time, but afterward it will yield fruit that is pleasant. Okay, and so we're in our notes in number 2, Hebrews 12:11, and under that it says, the rod of discipline, while it brings pain, will also bring a harvest of righteousness and peace. So the pain is temporary, but this harvest is something that they'll reap fruit for really their life as they learn to be obedient, as they learn to be submissive to the authority that God has placed in their life. It will bring a life of righteousness and peace, instead of the temporary pain that they get. Okay, so the proper use of the rod does this. It humbles the heart of the child, making him subject to parental instruction. Because if you know anything about children, they don't naturally, usually, especially when they're in trouble, naturally just listen. And now some of them will cower, and we say, "Oh, well, I just talk to them," and they're like, "Oh." But usually, the children have different attitudes and ways of responding to correction. And I think sometimes we mistake them being scared of being in trouble for their humble and their heart. But that's not necessarily true either. They're just trying to protect themselves. The rod reminds them, no, really, truly, living for yourself and not obeying the way God commands, it's not okay. It's not okay. And so that's what the rod helps with, okay? It humbles their heart, and now they're ready to receive instruction, and it adds weight to the instruction that oftentimes children don't give. naturally. Okay, so number four. God has commanded the use of the rod in discipline and correction of children. Okay, number one, it is not only the thing is not the only thing to do as a parent, but it must be used. And that's the blank. And if you were here last week, and I'll just read off the address of the Proverbs, but it's pretty it was said over and over and over and over in Proverbs 13:24. It's just the front of our lesson, Proverbs 19:18. Proverbs 22:15, Proverbs 23:13 and 14, Proverbs 29:15, Proverbs 29:17, and over and over, it's obvious and we cannot get away from the fact that the Bible does command that a parent uses the rod as part of their raising and training of their children. And oftentimes we don't like it, and so we try to reason and rationalize why that's not good for my child, instead they need this, but we just need to trust God that this is a vital part of raising a child. He says it over and over again. God says that there are needs in the heart of the child that require the use of the rod. That, and I would just contend that any other method, while it might produce what you want it to produce, which is a well-behaved child, I would contend that it wouldn't accomplish what needs to accomplish to the degree that God wants it to in changing their heart. And remember, we're shepherding a heart. We're not just shepherding behavior. And success in parenting is not because your child is now behaving better. Success in parenting is that their heart is being changed. But really, even more fundamental than that, success in parenting is that we're just doing what God tells us to do. And we're a successful parent if we follow what God commands us to do. And your child, it's now up to your child to respond the way God has them to respond. But what we do is what God commands, and it's because God commands it, and we have faith in Him. But His way, you'll find, I believe, if you really implement it, and we'll find later on, if you really implement it the way God says, it does work. We have to have faith in that. And so if you are going to rescue your child from the foolishness in their heart and impart wisdom, you must use the rod. It's just right there in the Word of God, right there over and over again. Okay, so number two. Now we're going to talk about really what is the rod. We're going to define it a little bit more this morning. The first thing is this. It's a parental exercise. Parental exercise. Every passage that deals with the rod in that book of Proverbs, as we read through all of those, it does so in the context of a parent-child relationship. Solomon is writing to his son, and Solomon is writing to his son how to raise his son. And it's always within the parent-child relationship. And you understand that, technically speaking, it's the guardian-child relationship. And oftentimes, it's not directly the parent who is raising the child, but whoever it is that is acting as the parent, the parental figure, this is the context of the rod. The Bible does not grant permission to all adults to engage in corporal punishment of all children, okay? This is not the permission that the Bible gives. The same mother and father who comfort the child when he is sick, who take him to amusement parks, remember his birthday, they're also the ones who give the spanking. And so I would contend this, and the book contends this, and I would totally agree with this, that really I don't see a good situation where somebody other than the parental figure is giving the rod. Because of our next point, number four, the rod must be closely tied to rich communication relationship between the child and parent. And so if you're a grandparent who's really acting as a parental figure, I think it's appropriate. But I just don't, I think the school spankings and all of these things, and any adult with any child giving the spanking, it's just, in my mind, it separates the rod. And really, I think scripture supports this, and the book for sure does, that separating the rod from that deep, rich communication, that life of communication that we talked about in our last lesson, if you separate the rod from that, then I think it's more dangerous than it is helpful. It in their heart, it breeds bitterness and contempt. So that's why that's why we started with communication, because the rod has to be undergirded by the fact that the child knows very strongly that you love them and you have their best interest in heart, and you want to understand them, you want to shepherd them, you want to help them, and you love them, and so this is just a part of that. The rod is a part of that. It's not a venting of anger, and we're going to talk a lot about what it's not here in a second, but I do believe that the most accurate way to use the rod is in the context of a parent and their child, okay? Okay, letter B, an act of faith. The rod is an act of faith. The use of the rod is an act of faith. God has mandated that parents use the rod. God has mandated. It didn't sound like a scripture, I mean, like a suggestion in any of the scriptures we read. We use the rod. In fact, the Bible even says those who fail to use the rod don't love their children even the way that God commands them to, because the way that we love our children is by communication, but also by discipline. These are both important parts of a loving parental relationship. And so God mandates that parents use the rod. The parent uses the rod because God has commanded it, not because they are convinced it will work the best. Okay? Because the world can be convincing, and the world can tell you, oh, well, there's better ways to do it, and, you know, that there's some problems in my mind with the rod, and I've come up with this or that, and they can make it sound very, very convincing, but in the end, that's not even what we're trying to do. We're not trying to figure out what we think or what the world, especially what the world thinks works best for our children. What we're trying to do is live under God's authority, and we're parents. Remember, we're going to tell our kids this, and so we ought to live by it, that God has placed us as parents in authority over them, and so we're under God's authority. And so we need to do this thing the way God commands, and it's very clear, again, from Scripture that the rod is a part of that. Okay? Letter C is an act of faithfulness. So unwilling to be a willing party to his child's destruction, the godly parent faithfully uses the rod. Again, because without using the rod, we are, in a sense, part of their taking place in a willing party to the child's destruction. It's as if you're watching a child, you know, walk toward the street and then you just don't do anything about it. And we're in a sense, a willing participant of that. And not failing to use the rod and not disciplining the child the way that God commands is really, in a sense, a willing party to the child continuing to live life in a foolish way, continuing to live life thinking that he can live however he wants without thinking about what God thinks, and it's going to destroy them. It's going to destroy them eventually. Now, God's grace is there, and I know a lot of people. I went to Bible college with a lot of people that their parents did not raise them the right way, but there were a lot of hurdles they had to jump over. But God's grace was there, and God could still use them, so I'm not saying that. But our part in all of this is to do what God's called us to do, which is communication first and then the rod. It's an expression of love and commitment. I think I want to pause and just read all those Proverbs again, because I think it kind of grounds us again in what the Bible says instead of trying to remember what all of those were. So if you go to Proverbs, we're done in Hebrews. Go ahead and go to Proverbs. And I just want to read them all just to remind us what God says and how unequivocal it really is that we do this if we're going to raise our children the way God wants us to. So Proverbs 13:24 is the first one. And he says this, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son." You see? I mean, I don't know how much more clear you can get than that. "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." And so it's an act of love. Go to Proverbs 19:18. Proverbs 19:18. "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." Proverbs 22:15. "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Proverbs 23:13-14. "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell." And it's pretty clear the way that God commands for correction to be done. It's right there. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof. And again, I love this verse because they go together, don't they? The rod and reproof. Reproof is the communication part of it. The proof, reproof is that rich, loving communication relationship you have with your child combined with the rod. These two things together bring wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And then verse 17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. And then really, it's kind of funny because what we default to in parenting and having children that obey, having children that are easy, it's really right there. Children that do what? That give you rest. And this is a byproduct of following God's plan and correcting the way God commands. And if you do that, a helpful byproduct, not our goal, but a helpful byproduct is a child that will give rest instead of all the time. Yeah. And he shall give delight unto thy soul. So it's an act of faithfulness. And so letter D in our notes again, it's a responsibility. It's a responsibility. The rod is not the parent determining to punish. And we have to remember that. We don't get to decide if we punish our child or not. God has decided that for us. He has told us that we need to punish, we need to discipline. It is the parent, as God's representative, undertaking on God's behalf what God has called him to do. And so, in a most technical sense, we can decide not to discipline and not to punish. But if we do that, then we're not following God's plan, and we cannot expect our children to follow God's plan. You see? We cannot expect our children to obey God by obeying and honoring us as our parents, as his parents, and then not ourselves obey God in being the parent God has called us to be. You see? This is both of us need to do our part. Parents need to be the parent God has called them to be. The child needs to be the child that God has called them to be. And when these two things happen, God is glorified. And really, in the end, that's what we're after, isn't it? That God is glorified. Okay? Letter E. A physical punishment. The rod is the careful, timely, measured, and controlled use of physical punishment. It's not time out. It's not taking away something. It's not grounding. Now, those could have their place in a sowing and reaping type situation, but the rod is not that. The rod is very clearly a physical, timely, measured, controlled use of physical punishment. But here's the other thing, is the rod is never, ever, 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 ever a venting of parental anger. If you're going at it with anger, you need to stop. You need to ask God's forgiveness. And if you've already expressed your anger to your children, you need to ask your child's forgiveness and then use the rod without anger, because the anger will do nothing but destroy and muddy what God has commanded to be helpful. It is not what the parent does when he is frustrated. Not at all. And we're going to talk more about that in a second. Letter F, a rescue mission. The rod is a rescue mission. The spanking is designed to rescue the child from continuing in their foolishness. If the child continues, it will bring destruction to their life. And so thus, the parent, driven by love for the child, must use the rod. And this is the biblical definition in an outlook of the rod, okay? Now, number three, distortions of the rod. D-I-S-T-O-R-T-I-O-N-S. Distortions of the rod. The idea of the rod is often looked down upon in our culture. And so the main reason for this, I believe, is the shift, again, in our culture's parenting philosophy away from authority and toward more of a permissive self-expression way of raising their children. That's the main reason why this is looked down upon. But then also, number two under that, however, another reason for the negative outlook on the rod is the unfortunate fact that the use of the rod is often distorted. And I've got to say this too, that a lot of the reason I believe too that the rod is not used is because so many of our parents today have been abused by the rod. the rod has been used in a way that God never intended or designed for it to be used. And so what they do is they say, I'm not even going to use the rod at all. And that's another reason why I believe the rod is being looked down upon. Here are some of the things that the rod is not. Yes.
I was reading something this week, and it referred to Dr. Spock as a bringer of some of the philosophy that is not biblical.
Only Spock I know is on Star Trek.
Well, when our kids were little, there was a Dr. Spock that was trying to help parents
to get away from the
and basically, so just put up feelers, just that's a little bit of a warning that it wasn't a biblical
and it's not, and our the society has jumped both feet into that, and there's a lot of speculation and reasons why our culture is that way. But in the end, the reason is that we're naturally inclined not to do things God's way. And so that's kind of where our society is, unfortunately. But I do think, and I have talked to people who have told me that they were raised with the rod, and it was an abusive situation, and they will not use it. And that's unfortunate, because the rod is intended to be helpful. And to not use it, as we're learning, to not use it has its own consequences and are, in some cases, just as bad in the long run as using it the wrong way. Both have their problems. And they're different, but they're both problems. So let's just do it God's way. But the things that the rod is not are these. It's not, the rod is not the right to unbridled temper. The rod is not a license for a parent. And that's the next one, the right for a parent to hit our children whenever we want. It is not us saying, you've made me mad enough, now the Bible says, because now I'm mad enough, I'm able to hit you. That is not what the Bible teaches at all, not even close. It is not the venting of frustration. It is not retribution. The rod is not vengeance, you know. You've made me mad, and you've hurt me, so I'm gonna hurt you. And that is not the rod, and that is not God's intent. It is not associated with vindictive anger, okay? And again, if any of these describe anywhere close to what we're doing when we use the rod, then we have severely messed up, and we need to apologize to our children. And what Ephesians even says, right after Ephesians tells our children to obey and honor us, it tells parents not to provoke our children to anger, and this is what does that. This is what provokes children to bitterness and hatred, and we cannot bring anger into this. It messes everything up. Okay, so number four. Here are some common objections to the rod. I think this is going to help us a lot here. Some of these objections you might have just immediately thought of when we even mentioned this word, or even along the way thought of this, and so hopefully this will help us to understand a lot of this. Okay, so letter A is this: I love my children too much to spank them, and I've heard that even said almost verbatim. I love them too much to spank them, and this objection, if we're going to be honest, it's understandable. You know, if you love your children, you don't want to spank them. Nobody wants to spank their children unless they're psycho or they have an anger issue, okay? It is difficult to cause discomfort for your child, period. And that's physical discomfort, that's any kind of discipline. Any kind of discipline is unpleasant, and it's hard to do that. And that's why a lot of parents have a problem disciplining their children. The question is this: who benefits if you do not spank your child? If we're talking about love, then here's the real question. Who is it that benefits by not spanking their child? Well, biblically, we're finding out. Certainly, it is not the child who benefits by you not spanking your child. The Bible is very clear. If you don't spank them, the Bible says you hate them, which is a strong word. And hate isn't, the word hate in the Bible is not the same as what we think of, like, I just despise, hate them. It's more like you don't love them as much as you ought to. There's not a pure love there. And so if we don't spank our child is the one that's going to pay for that. They're the ones that's going to go through their life with a distorted view of life, thinking they can live the way that they ought to, not feeling like they're under God's authority at all or answerable to him. And it's them who is paying the price, not us. As we have learned, a failure to use the rod when necessary places the child at risk. And if we're being honest, the one who benefits from not spanking our child is the parent. The parent who is delivered from the inconvenience and discomfort of spanking their child. In the end, when a parent says, "I love my child too much to spank them," if we're gonna dig as deep as we can, it's really because they don't want to, and they're the ones that are benefiting, and not the child. Whether they realize that or not, that's really the situation. Go to Proverbs 13:24. We'll read these two again. We've already read them, but in the context of what we're talking about, 13:24, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son." And the Bible says, "He that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." And then if we were to keep reading in Hebrews 12, the Bible says that God corrects who he loves. And so to say I love my children too much to spank them actually goes diametrically opposed to what the Bible even teaches. And go to Proverbs 19:18 says, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." And this is the heart behind this objection, I think, that when your children are crying and your children are discomforted and they're not happy, that something inside a parent doesn't like that. Okay, but God is helping them understand, no, you can't. You need to not spare for his crying. Why? Because, yes, it's unpleasant now, but this is good for him in the long run. Okay? And so that's the first one. Okay. Letter B. "I'm afraid I will hurt them." That's the blank. "I'm afraid I will hurt them." Again, unfortunately, some parents have endured an abusive, distorted version of the rod as a child, and are afraid they're going to hurt their child. Some parents fear that physical damage will result from corporal punishment, that there's going to be some long-term problems if you spank them. Look at Proverbs 23:13-14. It anticipates this objection. 23:13-14. "Withhold not correction from the child." So first of all, period, that's what God says, withhold not correction. Well, why would parents withhold correction? Well, because they feel like this objection says. He says, "For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die." Apparently, some people thought, if I beat my child, he's going to die. He's not going to die. And the implication is it's not going to hurt him long run. And if you're doing it properly, there's no possible way that you're going to injure him for the long term. Okay? For the verse 14, "Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and instead of actually hurting him, you're going to deliver his soul from hell. You're going to save him from destruction in the future." And so, in fact, not only are you not hurting them, but you're actually going to be avoiding hurt down the road, you see. And so biblical discipline with the rod never, ever physically endangers the child. Okay? Letter C. "I'm afraid it will make him rebellious and angry." And I think that this is one of the main ones that I've heard, this one and the next one. Some parents fear that if they spank their children will view them as cruel and harsh. Look at Proverbs 29:17. And again, I can see the correlation there. If I hit them, then they're going to think I'm mean, right? 29:17 says, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." And so it actually states, the Bible says, the opposite is true. If you spank your child, if you use the rod, not only will they not be more angry with you, and your relationship not only will not be more strained, but instead the opposite will happen and you'll have rest between you two. Yeah. Rather than discipline yielding angry, sullen children, it yields children who are at peace with you. And if I can just contend this, and this is just my opinion, but if a child is in trouble and they've done something wrong and they know it and you know it and you just ignore it, well, then that is what causes strain in a relationship, that we have a problem and we've not dealt with it. But if there's a problem between child and parent, and they know it and you know it, and then you use the rod and now it's over, now the relationship is restored, you see? And that is really the opposite of what we kind of in our heart maybe automatically think about, that he's going to hate me if I do this. Letter D. This is another common one. I'm afraid of teaching them to hit. Many parents worry that spanking will teach their children to hit when they are angry or frustrated. And I've heard that before. Well, here's the problem with that. Number two, this only happens if you spank them when you are angry or frustrated. This is a big reason why you need to have the right spirit and attitude whenever you approach your child. And I got to tell you, I have spanked my entire childhood. And my dad was a drunk. I'll just say it right there. He drank. And there were times where he spanked me and he was angry. But two things. I never, ever doubted that he loved me, even though he had his problems. And I never, ever thought that means I get to hit other people. It's never even occurred to me as a child. Because he's the authority and I knew I messed up. And I knew I needed that. It's not the same as, oh, you annoyed me. Boom! No child is going to do that and then honestly say it's because I get spanked. It just is not an issue. But it is something that a logical conclusion that we can come up with by our own human reasoning. But it's just not the case. It's just not. 99% of the time, not a problem. Again, the only way I can see this happening is if a parent consistently gets mad, and because they're mad, they hit their child. And they're frustrated, and because they're frustrated, they hit their child. Well, that might do that, but I've actually never even seen that happen. Okay. The biblical use of the rod will never be an expression of anger or frustration. Okay, letter E. Another objection is this. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Well, Ted Tripp, that's the writer of the book, Shepherding a Child's Heart, gives a few main reasons why parents feel the rod doesn't work. And he would have had a lot more experience with this than I would. And he's seen this over and over and over and over and over again. So I'm just going to, I think I might have even just copied and pasted this. I'm not sure. But these are right out of his book, okay? So, number one, the primary reason spanking is ineffective is when it is done in anger. That was his first reason. If the rod isn't working, number one reason is the parents are doing it in anger. Children will not willingly submit themselves to the authority of an angry, out-of-control parent. It won't happen. They'll submit and they'll cower in fear, but they will not willingly submit and change their heart based upon being corrected in an angry way. And I would contend that's whether you use the rod or not. And if a parent comes to a child and they're yelling and they're screaming and they're blowing that child out of the water, making that child feel like an idiot, and making that child feel like he's the worst person in the world, and then expecting this child to communicate with them and their hearts to change, it's just not going to happen, whether you use the rod or not. Yeah, they may respond in fear, but they will not willingly place themselves under the authority of a parent who disciplines in unholy anger. Okay, so that's the first reason. Number two, why the rod doesn't work often is because of the inconsistent use of the rod. And so the parent just kind of decides when to spank and when not to spank, and there's really no set rules. And the child just doesn't know what actually causes a spanking and what doesn't. And so therefore, the child's always testing the parent and trying to figure out, okay, how far can I push them? And that's one reason why the rod doesn't work. The third reason is this failure to persist. And so some parents just don't try it long enough. And so they give up after a couple of days when their children aren't transformed overnight. Like, I've spanked this kid for 3 days and nothing has happened. Okay, well, that's not long enough. And we need to allow for this to affect them in the long run. And again, we just need to trust God anyway. And just that's the main reason we do this. But 99% of the time, if you're faithful to use the rod properly, it will have a result in your children. They will be soft to authority most of the time. And again, it's their decision. They get to decide. You can't control your children. But But it is God's way, and it does tend to work. The last one is this, failure to be effective. And so sometimes parents spank through diapers or multiple layers of clothing. I remember one time that I was in trouble, big time trouble. I don't remember what I did, but I knew I was in big trouble, and I knew I was going to get a spanking. So I put on like every pair of underwear I had, and my parents had no idea. And I acted. But anyway, so parents don't check those things, and sometimes kids figure it out, and they act like it hurts, and they know it doesn't. And so usually kids aren't great actors, but parents are like, "Oh, I did it. I spanked him. That's what God said." And so the child hardly even knows that he's being spanked, and so the spanking is ineffective because the parent never made the rod felt, okay? Just the physical action of doing that without any pain isn't what God intended either, okay? All right. So those are reasons why it wouldn't work. Okay, another objection is this. Letter F, I'm afraid of being arrested for child abuse. And unfortunately, there is some validity to that concern. And there is a slight hesitation in me about doing these and putting them online. But in the end, I'm going to obey God rather than men. And if someone hears this and I get in big trouble, then I get in big trouble. But at this point, it is not illegal to spank your children. Not yet. And that day could be coming, but right now it's not. Okay. However, child abuse is illegal, and I would say rightfully so. Okay? Child abuse is illegal and wrong. But the biblical use of the rod is not abusive. Okay? And we have to understand that and get that in our minds. However, here's the problem, though. A society that does not understand the Bible and just regular people on the street that equate spanking with abuse. Okay, so even though it's not necessarily illegal, there could be people who notice that you do this, and they can equate it as that, and they can try to tell the authorities, and you know, it's probably not going to go anywhere, but it could be an annoyance and all of that. And so with that in mind, a parent has to be wise with this, okay? And one way a parent can be wise with this is this. Spanking should not be a public matter. You don't need to spank your child in the middle of Walmart, okay? As much as you'd like to. And again, this is an anger thing, okay? This is not and to be honest, as much as they need it sometimes in the middle of Walmart. But this is not something that is to be done in front of other eyes. Our next point, even if this wasn't a concern, even if the legalities and you weren't worried about what people thought, even if that wasn't a concern, spanking should always, and we're talking about this next lesson, spanking should be a private matter between God, the parent, and the child. There ought to be no eyes looking while you're spanking your child. And because there's no reason to shame your child. There's no reason to bring that into the equation, okay? We're not spanking them so they feel ashamed and like everyone's watching them. And no, it's not that. It's to drive the foolishness and so that they understand that they can't do what they're doing. There's no reason to shame your child, ever. There's no reason for that. And so that alone will help it. And so we'll talk about it, I think, next week some, but you take the child to a private place. You take the child out to the car. We don't have a woodshed at Walmart. Just kidding. We don't use the woodshed. But anyway, but you know what I'm talking about. You take them away. You get away where it's just you and the child anyways, and that'll help a lot. Okay? All right. But again, like I said, if someone finds out and they call authorities, and even if I go to jail, I'm not going to just stop doing what God told me to do. And so it is what it is. And I know in my heart I'm not abusing my child. And my child knows in their heart that they're not being abused. And in my mind, as long as me and the child and God are right, if the authorities are upset about it, then it just is what it is. Yes, Ms. Marilyn?
I used a wooden spoon. And there was one time that I had Rebecca go get the wooden spoon and then go to the bathroom and wait for me to get there. I forgot she was there. But she waited and waited.
Oh, man.
Just that.
Yeah.
And she knew she did wrong.
Yeah.
But sending her off.
Yeah.
While I pulled down.
Yeah, it's important to get away. I mean, you ought to have a place in the house where none of their siblings are around, you know, because it's just, there's just no reason for that. Yeah, it doesn't help. So, anything else before we move on to number five? Everyone doing pretty good? Any questions or thoughts or comments or anything like that? Okay, number five. Okay, number five. The fruit of the rod. The fruit. Okay, so letter A, the rod teaches outcome to behavior. It teaches the basic truth of reaping and sowing. The Bible says what you sow, you will reap. And if you sow corruption, you'll reap corruption. And if you sow godliness, you'll reap godliness. And so if what we're doing for our child, if we don't spank, is we're not showing them the real world. The way that God created this world to really operate. And so they'll sow destruction and they'll sow disobedience and they'll sow a bad attitude, but then they reap nothing that's bad. And they'll go on thinking in their life like this is okay. All right? So that's one thing. Children learn that disobedience brings consequences. Letter B. The rod teaches the importance of authority. Something our society is very gravely missing. And so the rod shows God's authority over mom and dad. Why? Well, because you make it very clear to your child that mommy and daddy are doing this because God commands us to. And we're on God's errand, remember? We're doing what God has called us to do. And then it trains the child to be under authority. Okay? Letter C. The rod yields a harvest of peace and righteousness. And we read that in Hebrews 12 at the beginning. The rod demonstrates parental love and commitment. Yep. The rod returns the child to the place of blessing. And the rod promotes an atmosphere of closeness and openness between the parent and child. Yep. I think to not use the rod, you're going to have to use other forms of punishment. And almost exclusively, these other forms of punishment end up being like long-term. And like we're gonna act like there's a pretty big strain in our relationship right here, okay? Like you go to your room, don't talk to me, or you can't. The rest of the family, we're gonna have fun. You can't have fun, and all of these like separate things. So you're not going to enjoy the family, and that's not what the rod does. The rod says, listen, you messed up, and that's because you're a sinner, and I'm a sinner too. But what we can't do is ignore this. So what we're going to do, God commands for us to use the rod. We use the rod. They know how it's going to go. And the rod's over and you're restored. And it's like it didn't happen. And there's the closeness and it's back. And we're not spending days and days bitter at each other, you see. Yeah. Okay, conclusion. We'll be done. I don't know why I started with letter D there. I don't know how I did that, but it's supposed to be letter A. If you focus exclusively on either the rod or communication, you will be like a ship with all the cargo loaded on one side. Your children need to be known and understood. That's number one. They need to be known and understood. So rich communication is necessary. But they also need authority. They need limits that are clear and correction that is predictable. And we could try to come up with ways to do that, but the Bible's very clear. The way to do that is the rod, and so the rod is necessary. Okay, the next one, assess which distortions of biblical training you would tend toward and strive for greater balance. Why do I say that? Well, because most parents naturally are bent to one or the other. Most parents are naturally more authoritarian, do what I say or else, and or either not that, then they're like, well, I know you didn't mean to, and I know you, well, they did usually mean to, by the way, and I know that, you know, this is hard for you, and so how could I help you not do this again? And these are two distortions of what it needs to be more like. I know you messed up here, let's talk about what happened in your heart, and really the sin that's in your heart. There's some reason why they disobeyed, and we'll deal with that, and then we'll correct in a loving way, and then they learn to not, to that whatever was in their heart, they learn that that's not okay with God, and they're able to fix it, and then we have a loving, reconciled relationship, and we can move forward. So this is the biblical training, biblical parenting, okay? So you need to find out where you land on that, and then work on getting it balanced out. Every parent has to do that. Letter F. Next time, we will give more practical procedures about how to use the rod biblically. And so next time, we'll have a lot of nuts and bolts and exactly how this thing works. Okay? All right. Well, let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Thank you, and we'll see you next week. Let's pray. God, thank you so much. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for making it so very clear how it is that we're to raise our children. And I pray that you help us to have faith in you. Help us to trust that your way is best. And Lord, help us to be faithful to you as parents. And I pray that you help our children to respond properly. And that's between them and you. But Lord, help us to do our part. And I pray that you bless the rest of our services today. Be with Pastor as he delivers your word. Be with the music and the fellowship and everything that happens, that you be glorified. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Dismissed. Thank you.